When a holy enthusiasm seizes the heart, your face lights up. You feel like a star singing. Your very soul, hearing your song, is radiant. It was, and it will be again. With the sun on our brows, enthusiasm will bloom once more. With paradise in our hearts, clouds will disappear, and the sun's rays will bring the earth back to life. The sun of your hope will shine again along the dangerous narrows of your life, bringing the warmth and light and the air of freedom, peace, and happiness. It was, and it will be again. Those words were written by Norbert Chopek as a hymn. The language of hope is all the more inspiring when you realize that he wrote the words of this poem as he sat in a jail cell awaiting his sentence. It was 1941. Hitler's Germany had invaded Czechoslovakia. Chopek was now 70 years old. For the past 20 years, he had built up that Unitarian church in Prague, and it grew to 3,000 members, the largest Unitarian church in the world. Chopek's preachings, his writings, his public lectures emphasized our first principle, the inherent worth and dignity of every person. He also talked about the growing disparity between the rich and the poor and how the strength of community could address those problems. The Gestapo heard this message and they found it treasonous and dangerous and started monitoring all of his activities. They listened to his speeches and his sermons, and even though Chopek tried very hard to cloak his messages in metaphor, the authorities eventually arrested him and his youngest daughter, Zora. They were charged with capital offenses, listening to the BBC, and high treason. They were sent to separate labor camps. Norbert Chopek was sent to Dachau. Now, there are lots of different accounts about the exact nature of his death. But the accounts of his life, are confirmed by many survivors who were comforted by his presence at that concentration camp. One of his fellow prisoners said that Chopek was always in a good mood. It was amazing. He was always able to encourage all the people around him to bring them out of their bad situations and somehow lift them up. In those final days, Chopek would lead the others in worship, and often he would use the flower communion ritual. They would find whatever humble flowers they could around the camp and gather them all, thorns and all. This simple ceremony served to bind the community in a collective hope and a shared strength so that they would not forget their humanity. At a memorial service for Chopek, one Unitarian official commented that now another name has been added to the list of historic Unitarian martyrs by whose death freedom has been bought. Many others have called him a martyr, saying that he gave up his life for his ideals. He gave up his life for his faith. But somehow that doesn't sit right with me. I don't think that he gave up his life. I don't think that a person's death makes him or her a martyr. It's not their death, it's their life that the community remembers and is inspired by. You know, no one sets out to be a martyr. When a person desires to be killed in dramatic fashion to demonstrate a point, to demonstrate their beliefs, this is an act of violence. It's masochism, meaningless suffering. It's delusion, but it's not martyrdom. The community is the one who gets to designate one of their own as a martyr, not because of the spectacular nature of their death, but because of the faith by which they lived, the faith that they kept all the way to the end. Chapek's faith was formed when he was very young, a teenager like Will and Autumn and Evan. At that age, he rejected his Catholic Church upbringing, and he turned to the Baptist faith. He started to evangelize when he was very young, about 18. He eventually became an ordained Baptist minister and established churches from the Ukraine all the way to Budapest. As he matured, so did his faith. He became more liberal in his views, and that got him into all kinds of trouble with both the church and the government. And so he fled to New York City. There he led another Baptist congregation, and he thought it would be more liberal since it was in the United States. But he wouldn't stop questioning or thinking or using his gifts of logic and reason. And he started preaching and speaking out about economic justice and about the humanity of Jesus. The Baptists in New York charged him with heresy. And even though he was cleared of all those charges, he realized that he was too liberal to be a Baptist minister, and he resigned. This is when he discovered, through his children, the Unitarian faith. And it was this faith that allowed him to see the great potential of humanity, especially when we work together in community. He believed that God was manifest in the practical, everyday human interactions and activities, when we are able to achieve things in community, in our daily living. That's when we see God. Norbert Chapek did not give up his faith. He did not give himself away. He did not give up his life for his ideals. He lived them fully and completely until the day he died. And so we remember him. And we remember all those who have gone before us, who have kept their faith to the very end. Let us also honor those in our own community represented by these flowers. Each person, distinct in her gifts, each person unique in his character, each person with a particular color and fragrance and beauty and, yes, thorns. Each person whose very living offers us a way out of estrangement, a way out of separation, and into the spirit of love that unites us all. And so we have come to the final part of the flower communion ceremony. When you are ready, and if you want to, I invite you to come up and take a flower. Approach mindfully, respectfully, with a sense of how important it is for us to address one another and address people in the world with gentleness and justice and compassion. And if you don't want to come up now, you can take a flower on your way out. There are some extras in the narthex.